Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa as-salamu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا اله الا انت الحمد لله. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him, mighty and sublime is he. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise, and blessed is your name, and there is none to be worshipped besides you. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. We welcome you to the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of Keeping It Real. Talk about it. The host is Princess Lou Princess Aziz. This is Mother's Day, and we recognize that our beloved host, Lou Princess Aziz, is a mother, and we're quite sure that she is celebrating Mother's Day with her mother and her children. So she will not be on Mother's Day on this broadcast. And let me introduce myself. I am Kareem Hamid, the radio station manager for American Muslim 360. And I chose to sit in for her as she celebrates the wonderful day of Mother's Day. I want to share with you an address by our beloved Imam Yahya Shabazz of Masjid Muhammad out of Jacksonville, Florida. We hope that you enjoy this lecture by Imam Yahya Abdullah. Praise be to Almighty God. This address is entitled Man's Evolution and Continual Advancement, Part 1. May we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah.
Yes, we want to be on time. Not just we have to respect your time, but also we have, as I said, we have listeners on the phone, and they took their break when we took ours. But we don't want them waiting for us online. So we want to begin this session. We say, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Ayyuhal muslimun. Again, thanking Imam Furqan Muhammad for hosting us for this 2015 Ramadan session here in Atlanta, Georgia at Masjid Mu'minun. And we are expecting, inshallah, tomorrow Imam Hatim Hamidullah from Orlando to join us. As you all know, he used to live here also in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, what I want to do for this last session, because we will stop at 8:40, maybe 8:45 or so, because the sun doesn't set here to 8:54. I saw it, so close to fast breaking time. But I had quite a bit of information that I didn't finish in the Jummah. So I said before starting, I'll start what I want to share with you on the theme. My theme for this weekend, the Quran, man's evolution, and his continual advancement. That will be our theme this weekend. But I want to finish what I couldn't finish in Jummah because of the lack of time. So I'm going to read. The subject today was Ramadan, the month of purification. The month of purification. And the basis for our discussion was Surah Al-Ikhlas, the chapter that titles Purity of Faith, and how the revelation of the Quran, its most important correction was the correction of the false idea of God that the world had, not just the Arabs, but that the world had. And also to correct Imam Muhammad, he put it like this. He said the Quran came to correct what they said God said. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Quran comes to correct what they say God said. And he said the same with W.D. Farad. Imam said, if you don't want God to get involved in your thing, whatever it is you're planning and doing and working, remember that, Daoud? He said, don't say Bismillah. Don't mention God's name, because he said the minute you mention Allah's name, you invite him to take over your thing. Yeah. So they say God said certain things, and Allah says in the Quran, and they write the book with their own hands. Now, this is referring to something now. And they write the book with their own hands, and they say, this is from God. Yeah. So we know who they are, and we are not, this is not for criticism. This is Ramadan for us. And we know that the Christians, the Jews, and others are called Ahlul Kitab, people of Scripture, people of the book. So they are our brothers and sisters in faith. But we don't agree with their wrong ideas. We respect their goodness, but we don't respect the falsehood. So whatever they wrote with their own hands is unacceptable. So God had to come to the and reveal to the prophet, Al-Ikhlas, purify the faith, purify the, we'll take the questions later, purify the faith and purify man's false concept of God. But now, you know, the Arabs, they weren't the first. They weren't even the only ones. You can go back to ancient Egypt. If any of you all know anything about their religious life, their philosophy, their ideology, you find them having the same issues, the false concept of God, Osiris, Horus, all of that. That's not our presentation. That's just to point out that in ancient times, men had the wrong concept of God, and God himself had to reveal to the Prophet Muhammad, as Imam Qasim said in his session, the Prophet is Qatamun Nabiyyin. He's the seal of prophethood. He's the seal of it. But now that also means, and this is important for us, and while we are Muslims, and I don't know if you all, you read the last speech of the Prophet, his last sermon, but most people, when they translate the last sentence, I'd say about the last two to three sentences, probably the latter paragraph, you can say it's a paragraph, but they say, he said, and may those who come later appreciate it better than those who are here. No, he prayed for it in the speech. God, let there be some who come later, the Akhirin, they call us, who will understand my words better than those who are right here with me right now. Go back and read it. It was a dua near the end of the speech. Well, where are they? Where are those Akhirin that he, the Akhirin means the later ones. That was 1,400 years ago. It's like Abraham prayed for his offspring. God, give me an offspring who will be righteous. And he prayed for the generations to come. So the Prophet Muhammad, he understood, as Imam Muhammad said, that what he was receiving was more powerful for the mind of the Arab of the 7th century to understand it. They couldn't understand it, the mind of the Arab in the 7th century. Give an example. There's a hadith that references when we are supposed to stop eating and drinking. And the Quran came to correct this now. And it said, eat and drink until the black thread becomes distinct, or the white thread, pardon me, becomes distinct from the black thread. Now that's in this book right here. Or if you have volume 3 of Bukhari, and I saw them on the shelf out there, it's in volume 3. Volume 3 of Sahih Bukhari deals with everything you practically need to know about Ramadan. Okay? So in that volume, now this is volume 1 because this is a different collection, but the ones I saw with the 9 volume, it's in book 3. And the Arab, when the Prophet said this, the Quran said it first. The Quran said it. And the person took the Arab, this is in the 7th century, way behind us now. And I'm saying how the mind of the Arabs did not understand completely the Quran or even the teachings of the Prophet. So he had to pray for people to come later to understand it better than those who were with him. Now, I can just go ahead on and say, Allah answered his dua and gave us Imam W.D. Muhammad in this community. Now, don't get upset. I don't get mad. You should be happy that we had something special come to us. And if any people deserved it, Imam Qasim, he read, should a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me this whole people. So if anybody deserves understanding and religion and knowledge of God and create, it's the people who had absolutely all of their knowledge, and I put it like that, because I can't say we didn't have anything. Yes, we did. But they poured it out over generations. It kept cutting. Each group was cut off from the fathers, cut off from Al-Islam, cut off from the mothers. Some shipped around plantations, cut off. You all know the history. So what we came with, they made sure that didn't survive. Thank Allah it didn't survive. Because we are new Africans. We ain't old Africans. We are new Africans. Because the Africans, some of them had let superstition come into their practice. I know I have in Dallas, we have some wonderful brothers and sisters from Senegal that are in the masjid there with me. And over the years, they don't hardly do it anymore, but they had a lot of superstitious practices. And they were telling me all kind of witchcraft and voodoo. And I would just simply say, show it to me in the Quran. And before they could even start, I said, hold up. Now there's one surah that will correct you. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. This verse. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And those who practice superstitions. So thank God that old way from West Africa didn't survive with us. I ain't forgot it. I'm on it. I got thread, so I'm stitching. I used to be a tailor. I'm sewing. I got the scriptural garment on the table, and I'm weaving the fabric together. It all connects. That's all right, my friend. You all right. That's my buddy from way back, D.C., Daoud. So it didn't survive. This is Allah's will now that we didn't come with these superstitions. So we were new. And unfortunately now, this is an unfortunate part of the Nation of Islam that Lieutenant Larry was in and Lieutenant John 5X was in. We were given mysticism all over again by W.D. Farad. He mystified everything. Yaqub, the grafting of the devil, all this mysticism, the splitting of the atoms and all of that. He put a blindfold on a blind man. Put mud on our eyes, too. Yeah, put a blindfold on a blind man, already blind. Muck mud. Yeah. So we were blessed. So the prophet said the Akareen. But in his time, to understand this now, that hadith about those threads. An Arab brother, not understanding the religion, took a white piece of thread, black piece of thread, put it under his pillow that night before. So the next day, he told the prophet, peace be upon him, he said, I couldn't make the distinction between the black thread and the white thread. The prophet looked at him, he said, you did what? No, yes, and say you took literally. Now listen to this. Now this is serious, and this will help us. I hope, inshallah. The prophet said you took a piece of thread, white and black, literally, and put it under your pillow, on your pillow to see the difference. He said yes. He said that is not what it means. Listen carefully. You think that's the only thing that they had a problem understanding? I'll give you another one. There's a hadith that says when the Prophet ﷺ passed by some rocks. Okay, hold up. The rocks said, As-salamu alaykum. He prayed that the Akareen would understand it better than those who were there. Most people who think literally, well, actually, I've had the discussion with a brother. He said, the rocks brother said, As-salamu alaykum. I said, well, go out here and show me them rocks. I ain't never seen any talking rocks. I want to see the talking rocks. He didn't understand. He thought it literally meant the rock, like that brother thought, little piece of black thread and white thread. So God revealed in the Quran, the black thread of night is distinct from the white thread of Fajr, the dawn. All right? So we're told eat and drink. But now Imam Muhammad took it on another level of that. He said, but there's a higher reading. keep on eating, not your suhoor, your physical food in the morning. It might take you the whole month. It might take you a year before your white thread of understanding break through your darkness of misunderstanding and ignorance on one verse in the Quran. So you have to keep eating the Quran. You have to keep drinking the Quran until the white thread of enlightenment and understanding becomes distinct from mysteries and mysticism. Allahu Akbar. So how long that's going to be for you? I don't know. But Allah said you just keep on eating and drinking until you get it. Not until I get it. Not until Imam Qasim get it. You might have to eat longer than me. You might have to drink longer. But I'm going to say this, and he can say the same thing, and this ain't no boast. This is giving credit, thanks to Allah, and giving credit to our leader, Imam Waliduddin Muhammad. There are no more dark areas in the Quran for me at all. None. No dark areas in the Bible at all. None. No dark areas in Greek mythology, Roman mythology, ancient Egyptian mythology. None. There's no more darkness for me because I took the command. I've been eating and drinking for 40 years. And I ate and drank for 33 years with Imam W.D. Muhammad. So the Quran says, eat and drink until the white thread of the dawning of your intelligence and understanding becomes distinct from darkness of mysteries and mysticism. So because of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and I'm going to tell you something, you have this too, if you have the same confidence, because how many of us were listening to Imam Muhammad from 1975? Raise your hand. Look at all of these people. Okay. You don't even know what's inside of you. That's right. You don't even know. It's like the Arabs with the oil. They thought the earth was cursed. Black soil used to come up on the ground. And they say, oh, this is cursed. This earth is cursed. White man came from California in the 1940s. 42, 44. You can find this online. It's in a book called The Kingdom by Robert Baer. CIA agent wrote this book. It's a movie too. I read the book a long time ago. And he said that when the white man, the Western man with science now, he came, the oil was there all the time. It was there when Allah created the earth. And they used to see it, but they had not the science or the technology to understand what it was and to extrapolate it and put it to good use. White man came from the West. California, went to Saudi Arabia, spent years, failure after failure after failure after failure after failure after failure, continually, millions of dollars lost, lives lost. It got so bad, the executives in California say, shut it down. These are dry holes, dry wells producing nothing. One of them said, let's try one more time. We can't stop now. Let's try one more time. And he said, but we have hit every well. It's nothing here. But see, the problem was, like I told you, you got things you don't even know. They weren't drilling deep enough. They were drilling shallow wells. They were drilling black thread, white thread on a pillar kind of wells. You get it. They were drilling rock say assalamu alaikum kind of wells. They were not rasikuna. R-A-S-E, chapter 3, verse 7. R-A-S-E-E, rasikuna, K-H-U. N-A. Rasikuna. What's a rasik? A rasik is a deep dweller. Critical thinker like Abraham, Imam Qasim was referring to. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God forgive him his sin and grant him paradise, he said, brother, don't think you got it by looking at it one time. Who remember that? I remember that. Keep on looking at it. Keep on studying, brother. You might be right. you might be right. And he says, think five times. There go five senses and five prayers. Remember that? Think five times before you speak. What was he trying to get us to do? Be rasic. Be a deep oil dweller. A driller. So they were drilling too shallow. So the oil was there, but it was deep beneath the earth. And one of them said, let's try drilling a little deeper. And they went to what is called the mamma number 7. And they dropped that drill bit down beneath about 4,600 feet. They had not gone that far. They dropped it deep into the earth's core. And black oil gushed forth. Our oil is deeper than, you got it, you know where I'm going. And Imam said, we have the oil, the wisdom of the Quran. Allah gave them that black oil in the earth, and he gave us the oil of understanding of the Quran. But you got to drill deep. You ain't going to get nothing on the surface. You have to become a rasik. That's in the Quran. I'm not making it up. Chapter 3, verse 7. Rasikuna fi ilm. Those who are deep thinkers in the sciences. They read the Quran, but they're not just running through it. I got to hurry up and finish my jewels. I got to hurry up and finish my... What? It took the Prophet 23 years to get what you're trying to finish in 30 days. And you're rushing through. You're not understanding the value. You're not understanding the richness of what you have. And you just this. Tossing what Imam Muhammad said aside. Won't even use it. Won't go in and study it. Well, you're not going to get any oil unless you drill deep. They hit the mam number 7. That 7 is interesting, isn't it? It could have been 3, 4, 5, whatever. It could have been any number. Well, but they said the one that gushed forth oil was those 7 verses of Al-Fatiha. Now, they didn't say that. I put that in. Allah says in the Quran of the rocks, the Prophet prayed for the Akarina to understand it better than those who were with him. Allah said, with that staff too, that you were talking about, Moses, strike the rock. What rock was that? The rocks out there in the street? No, the hard hearts of the Hebrews. 12 tribes. And it says, and out gushed forth 12 springs. Now listen to this carefully now. Bilal will be able to get this. And those of you who study finance, how many Federal Reserve districts in America? 12. It's in their Torah. And each one knew its place of watering, cash flow. So the water for them is the liquidity, liquid, cash. But they understand it. See, they're deep. They're rasiks. Their rabbis are rasiks. They say, okay, now I hope you ain't like the ancient people in the 7th century or back in 3,000 years ago when you think God just told Moses to hit a piece of rock. If the rock was strong enough and his stick wasn't strong enough, the rock would have broke his stick. But obviously he had a staff that was stronger than that rock, meaning their hearts. How do we know? Allah says in the Quran, there are some hearts that are harder than rocks because from some rocks water flows. But from some people, you can't get no sentiments out of them at all. They ain't going to smile. I don't care if the sun is out there all day long. They're going to be grouchy, look dead, look pessimistic, and everything is going with Ramadan. How you doing, brother? Oh, man, I got to be going through these fasts for 29 days. Well, you blowing your fast. I'll be glad when the sun set. I can't wait to get my water and my food. Is that your spirit? You might as well going to break yours. You ain't fasting. You done broke it. Your spirit is bad. You misunderstand what it is. Now think now. Behind us, what we're seeing on TV, hmm, is because they are having a mind from the 7th century with no understanding. So they're going to the Hadith. Stone the adulterer. Well, they read one line. The second line says, the Jews came to Prophet Muhammad and asked him, what should they do to the woman who committed adultery? He said, do whatever your book say do. He told them, do whatever their book say do. If you read the Old Testament or the Torah, it has in it stoning for the adultery. You know what else is in there? And I know they ain't going to put that on TV. Killing the homosexual. That's in the Old Testament. That's not in the Quran now. It's not in the Quran. It's not in the Hadith. But in the Bible, it said if a man lay with another man, kill them both. Well, who going to do that? Who going to carry out that law? Man, these homosexuals powerful now. You're going to be in jail. They got judges. They got judges on their side. They got judges in their camp. What, you think they could? You think the Supreme Court could pass the same-sex marriage if some of them didn't have the same problem? That ain't the Supreme Court. That's the low court. This is the supreme knowledge, and God's court is the Supreme Court. Allahu Akbar. So we're religious people. We're not gonna capitulate like the Episcopalians. They just passed it the other day. All their bishops got together, and they decided that it's okay to have same-sex marriage in the Episcopalian church. You can't get two imams together to decide that. Because one of them going to say, you lost your mind?
That's right.
He might stone you. Yeah, he might get stoned. And stoning is not in the Quran at all. Seventh century mentality. The man who came to the prophet, friends, peace be upon him. Now I'm talking, don't forget where I'm at now. I'm finishing up the Jummah that I had with the purity of faith, and Ramadan is the month of purification. These ideas, I couldn't give it all to you in Jummah. We didn't have time. But there was another man in the Hadith. He came to the prophet while some of his companions was around. He said, Ya Rasulullah, oh messenger of God, I am ruined. Prophet said, what do you mean you're ruined? I have committed zina. That's adultery and fornication, same word. Prophet turned his head right quick. The man followed him. Didn't you hear what I said? I just said I committed zina. Prophet turned his head again and probably gave him a look like, do you know who's standing around me? These people don't have my understanding. he turned his head again. The man followed him. He said, I have committed. And the man said, like that. Like he was startled. Because he really got it that the prophet didn't want to hear it. And he was trying to avoid his companions listening to this. Without doing anything, the man took off running. This is in the Hadith now. But see, this is the 7th century stuff. They took off running. The man took off running. The people, the brothers who were with the prophet didn't tell them anything. They chased this man down, stoned him to death. Listen carefully. When they came back, they told the prophet. See, that's why Imam Qasim was saying earlier, reading from the Quran, Muhammad the prophet is Uswatun Hasana. Not Baghdadi, the one who wants the caliphate. Not Mullah so-and-so, Sheikh so-and-so. No, the prophet. It's the example. Because if you don't take that example, you're going to go astray now. They came back and they told the prophet. They were happy. I'm just using my imagination because I read the Hadith. And it was like they were happy. Hey, yeah, we got him. I guess that's how they said it. I don't know. Never. The prophet was startled. He said, you all did what? They said, we stoned him to death. This is where these 7th century brothers get this now. It's not in the Quran. Tell me what the Quran says. What does the Quran say as the punishment? 100 lashes. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If you lash somebody physically with a whip 100 times in Atlanta, Georgia, are you going to be walking around free or are you going to jail for assault?
man, put on TV these crazy Muslims. What street it is? Hank Aaron Boulevard. Over there whipping people, taking the Quran literally. And they don't understand that a tongue lashing sometimes hurt worse than a whip. But listen carefully. If you tongue lash somebody in America, in public, you slander them, you defame them, you're going to be in court. You're going to be in court. So you can't, you have to understand the Quran now. So the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, you all should not have stoned him. Now, they won't tell you this part. He said, when the man turned and ran, like O.J. Simpson, he realized the consequences of his wrong. There was no need to stone him. Because remember, they would not have known what the man did except what? He told them. And the prophet was trying to kill this priesthood. No, I don't want to hear that. I'm not a priest. There's no priesthood in Islam. There's no hierarchy. What are you telling me this for? You need to be repenting to God. And you don't know these people standing around me don't have my understanding. Now I ask you, based on what we're watching and witnessing in the media, if we're to believe it, is there any indication from the people they are showing us that they understand the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet?
No.
No. Absolutely not. No. I told a Christian friend of mine, I said, you know, I thank God I've been a Muslim for 40 years. Alhamdulillah. And I told him, I said, I have read the Quran from cover to cover to cover to cover to cover to cover. And I said, and I read it in Arabic. I know how to look the words up in language. I said, I studied the hadiths of the prophet. I studied his history. I told my Christian friend, I cannot recognize at all any semblance of Islam by what they are doing overseas. Can't recognize it. Now, you don't know this, so I have to tell you this, and this is no boast, but I'm going to share with you how Allah blessed us in our community, man Muhammad. I was in Egypt in 1988. And the Zion was called, and I was looking for the bathroom to make wudu. So there was about, I don't know, 100, 200 brothers in the lobby of this building. And I could speak Arabic, conversational Arabic, too. So I says, Wayne Hammam. You got to make sure you say that right, because if you say Wayne Hammam, it's where's the pigeon. You have to say Wayne Hammam, Hammam. That's the bathroom. So I said this. This is a true story now. This was in 1988, long before all this madness. I'm in Egypt, guest of President Hosni Mubarak at that time, representing our community, alhamdulillah. All expenses paid for 2 weeks. I didn't pay for anything to be over there. Wrote a paper for Al-Azhar, doing dawah in minority communities. I wrote a paper. My paper is at Al-Azhar in Egypt. Was there since 1988, alhamdulillah. The imam told me I could go. They paid my way over there. The president at the time. Met him in Dallas. Spoke to him in Arabic. Gave him a copy of Imam W.D. Muhammad's book. Mubarak. I said to the brother, I want to make wudu. Do you know what this man says to me? True story. Allah is my witness. You want hashish? You know what hashish is? Weed. That's weed.
For us, what's weed?
That's weed. I'm like, this time was just made. I said, what? Nah. He said,
you want the girl? You want the girl?
Now, remember I asked him where the bathroom was at. I know the word for girl. I ain't said nothing about Wayne Bent. I know the word for hashish. Just say hashish. I didn't say any of this. I said, Wayne Hammam, where is the bathroom? He says, you want girl? You want girl? I said, la, I don't want a girl. Guess what he said after that? This is Egypt.
You want the boy? You want the boy?
I said, man, have you lost your mind in Egypt? I said, have you lost your mind? Now I'm from America. The only thing came over me at that moment, Allah is my witness. I shouted out in the lobby with no fear. Wayne al-Islam fi Misr. Loud as I could say it. There had to be about 100, 200 Egyptians there. And I said it again. Wayne al-Islam fi Misr. Where is al-Islam in Egypt? And they jump, they're running. Brother, you don't see Muslims? I say, I see plenty of Muslims. That's not my question. My question is, where is al-Islam in this nation? Because you all don't seem to be able to display it. Now, there wasn't on TV. I'm telling you what happened before all this stuff even got on TV. That these people were operating just from rituals. The religion just became rituals for them. So if all you doing, washing your hands, I was at a masjid the other day in Jacksonville, Florida, immigrant community. The brother got his feet. They got a few little sinks to wash. He stuck his foot in the sink. I said, I can't take it no more. I did. I said, I can't take it. So, yeah, but you got to be tactful now because you never know what kind of mind you're dealing with. So I asked. I said, do you mind if I suggest something to you? He said, oh, no. I said, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, use the least amount of water as possible to wash his make wudu. Can you please take your feet out that sink because we have to wash our face in that sink? You know what he did? He said, oh, thank you. Took his foot out the sink. And I said, alhamdulillah, I didn't get attacked, bum rush. He accepted it, the correction. Okay, but this is a ritual. And the purity now, and I'm looking at the time. So I'm just going to give you the reference. That's chapter 5, verse 6. I was going to give you this in Jumu'ah today, but I couldn't. It's a long verse. About to wrap this up. You go read it. It tells you what to wash of the wudu, right? And if you in ceremonial impurity, use the word impurity, that means with your spouse, then full bath, ghusl. It's called ghusl, right? And if you cannot, listen to this. This is Quran, chapter 5, verse 6. And if you cannot find clean water, get you some clean earth and perform what? Tayammum. And how do you perform tayammum? You just take a little bit. They're sticking their feet in sinks. Allah said, take just a little dirt. Brush it off like that. Now look. And just wipe it on your face. You don't need to do head, ears, arm to the elbow, feet. Just a little like that. And you clean, because the earth is not dirty. The earth is clean. Mm-hmm. Now, you might pollute it, but before you pollute it with sewer, the earth is clean. So God says, take you some clean earth to tell us there's nothing wrong with your flesh. This is addressing something high. In the scriptures that came before, that the flesh was sinful, the matter is sinful, the earth is sinful. God said, is it? Well, I'm going to tell Muhammad's followers, you can clean yourself up with some of that earth. They call it nasty. Ain't nothing wrong with that dirt. But however, if you're believing this verse in the Quran is just talking about the ritual, you're not a Rasik. Imam W.D. Muhammad was a member of the Rasikuna. And he made us who were open ears and open mind, males and females, Rasikuna. We're not satisfied to give us something on the surface. We're going to drill deep because we're looking for oil. And sometimes you ain't going to get it on the surface. You got to go deep, right? So wash your hands. Your mama told you that. You need revelation to tell you to wash your hands? My grandmother told me that. Wash clean your actions. Now it has meaning. And wash your face. My mama told me that. But she didn't tell me the face is symbolic of your personality, and this cleaning of the face is symbolic of cleaning your personality. So the washing of the face is really to wash my personality. Because, listen, if you wash your face and as soon as you make wudu, brother, move. Oh, you didn't have wudu. Your personality is still dirty. Sister, you had the same chemo on yesterday. When you going to get a new one? Now, this is a person standing at the wudu station. You had that on yesterday. What is this? You are dirty inside, though you are washing your hands and your face. See, those are rituals. And wash your feet. Well, that scripture before. And Mary, what time is it? This ain't getting freaky now. This is just the scripture before. She washed his feet with her hair and her tears. What? Brother?
You ever had your feet washed with your wife's hair and her tears? That's a scene there, boy. Men dream of. Jesus is getting this. But he tell us he didn't have a woman. Well, he got a woman washing his feet. She's doing more than your woman that you got. With her hair and her tears. So then the Muslims have to wash our feet. But now you can't get no woman to do this. You got to do it yourself. But Allah bless him and worthy be Muhammad to explain this. This principle of purification. Feet are the lowest elements in society. When we stand up, the head is up here, the feet is at the bottom in our body. So the body in society, the leaders are the head of society, the masses are the feet. And this picture, Imam Muhammad said, of this woman washing the feet says that you should give the masses with your hair knowledge and tears. Be concerned about them. That's just a picture of what we are supposed to be doing, what people in the world are supposed to be doing who claim they're religious. Okay, well, wash the feet. Take care of the people in the ghetto. Take care of the people in the valley with your knowledge and your concerns, your tears. So when we wash our feet, it's symbolic of I'm concerned about the lower classes of people. I have to help them. I have to help them clean up their life. I have to help my brothers and my sisters and my cousins and my uncles and my nieces and my nephews. I got to do whatever I can to help them. Because Lil Wayne is on their back. Rihanna is on their back. Beyonce is on their back. They're having a hard time. They don't know how to feel. They have no filter. So they succumb to it. So now, the Rasik, this is what you get as a Rasik. Deep, the go deep to understand this. And it has other meanings too. Clean the lower rungs of society also. Don't treat your prisoners bad when you get them in prison. They're the feet. Take care of them too. Yeah, I know they committed a crime. Yeah, I know you have them in captivity, but they're still human beings. Yes. And they still have human dignity. Even though they committed a crime, they are not a criminal. Listen to me carefully. Never accept that you are a criminal. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. God said, I created you in the most excellent mode. We were pure when we came here. Look at the babies. They're running around. Pure. Innocent. No sin. No corruption. None of these babies have it. Oh, so the brother you talking to was born that way? Really? Homosexual? Don't, you ain't got to get all worked up. Don't let veins come through your neck. Just say, brother, I tell you what. Can you go with me to Grady Hospital? Because I'm confused. I need you to show me the homosexual laying up in the nursery. Because I can't identify him. Can you take me there and show me that baby and point him out? Say, that's going to be the homosexual right there. Who can do that? And what mother carries her child home after delivering this child for 9 months, carried it for 9 months and delivering it, all this pain. And then she introduced her child to her family members. Here's my little homosexual Michael. Who does that? So no concept of original sin. There's no such thing as original sin. There's original purity. Fitrah, Imam Qasim shared with us. So everybody is born pure, clean, no sin. The sin comes later when we come into the world of mankind. And are you aware of the hadith when Angel Jibril, when Allah created the world the first time and had Angel Jibril to look at it, and he said, oh, what a beautiful world. How can any creature go wrong in a world made so wonderful? And then Allah showed him the world after the Satan influences the world. And let me put my finger here so I can give you a note on Satan, the Imam told us. And Imam Qasim probably remember this.
after Satan got into the world. And then Allah said, look at it now. And Jibril said, oh, my Lord. He recognized Allah as his Lord, not Jesus. He said, oh, this ain't Jesus talking either. He said, oh, my Lord, how can any creature go right in a world made like this? Now, here's one of these other 7th century myths, the jinn. Okay. Well, you can believe what you want to believe of the jinn. But I'm going to tell you what the prophet said. He said, everyone possess a jinn. And they said, even you, O messenger of God? He said, yes, I possess a jinn also. But Allah has blessed me to make my jinn obedient. Mine makes salat. Mine fast Ramadan. I made mine Muslim. Okay, well, you can believe like the man told me when he first came, when the imam opened the community up and everybody could come. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, Saeed. It was in 1975-76. Latif was there. We were in a circle. Bilal, all of us sitting. Had the Tablik Jamaa visit us in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're sitting in a circle. They came from Pakistan. And they stayed at the masjid. I let them stay at the masjid. I'm rushing fast because I'm watching the time. One of them said, they start telling us, they like to tell you stories about their ancestors and what their teachers told them. I listened to some good stories. He said, I want to tell you a story of the jinn. He attacked your sister who went into the bathroom without her hair cover on. Well, I'm listening to this. Latif, remember that? So I'm sitting, that was in 1976. I'm not a Rasik at all at that point. I don't even know how to spell Rasik. I don't even know what it is. But I got common sense. So I'm sitting there. I'm listening. I'm like, what? He said, and the lady went to the bathroom, Muslim. She left her kimar outside the bathroom. The jinn jumped on her and attacked her in the bathroom. Well, I'm like, what kind of jinn? What jinn kind of little freaky jinn, isn't it? Your jinn not going off, man. So I'm listening. Now, my common sense kicked in. So I got to ask the question. I said, well, how did he look? I got to ask a question. Allah's my witness. Ask Latif. He's in Jacksonville. Oh, he was about this tall. Hold up. That ain't the worst. That ain't the worst part of it. So I said, well, how did he look? Because he didn't describe the height. He was green. 1976, I believe. You know what I said? I said, man. No, I said, at that time that movie was out. I said, that sounds like The Exorcist. Oh, because he said, this is the rest of it. He said, so the lady, so I said, well, what happened to her? When the lady had to go to the imam, and the imam, he pulled the jinn out of her. That's what he told me. I said, he did? Now I'm looking incredulous now. I said, what? He got the jinn out of her? Yes, he pulled him out. So now I couldn't take it anymore, Saeed. I said, you know what you telling me? I said, you know what that sounds like? The Exorcist. The movie with Linda Blair in it back then. That movie had just come out. I said, it sounds like a Hollywood movie. Now, listen to what he did after I said this now. I said, that sounds like a Hollywood movie. Exorcist with Linda Blair with some little green thing coming out and the priest went in there and pulled out this demon out of her. You know. I couldn't watch the whole movie back then. I saw part of it. When the green thing came out, that was the end of it for me. I was like, I'm done. I don't know what else coming out, but I ain't going to stay around to watch it. That was 76. So he laughed. Listen to this. You don't believe me? I said, not at all. That was it. Now, later, it took me going to Dallas, Texas in the 90s. I told this story to a Pakistani friend of mine. You know what he said? He said, Imam, you know what they tell us back home? I said, what? He said, they tell us when we go to America, among the black people who call themselves Muslims, tell them anything and they'll believe it. I said, what? He said, but you didn't fit that stereotype. He said, because you questioned him and you didn't believe it, that's why he started laughing. Hey, they think we stupid. But now I think there's something wrong with you. If you telling people during Ramadan, listen, this is what I heard on the news. This is the best time to kill people because you get extra brownie points, bonus points in paradise if you kill somebody in Ramadan. Now you stupid. You heard this on the news. So they're telling these people overseas, kill people during Ramadan. This is the fast month. This is the least time you're supposed to be killing people. The prophet said if somebody assaults you, say, inni sa'im, I am fasting. If somebody argues, I am fasting. If somebody get upset, I am fasting. He didn't say kill somebody. You're going to get some virgins in paradise. And they're all over the news laughing at the Muslims. Say, yeah, I heard it on the way coming over here. Oh, yeah, this is Ramadan. This is on CNN. Yeah, this is Ramadan. And they believe if they kill somebody in Ramadan, they're going to have 72 virgins in paradise. Well, that's not in the Quran. That's not in the Hadith. I don't know. Hold up. I think that's one of those legends like that guy told me in 1976 about that green gin. I think that's the same kind of story about them 72 virgins. Now, I don't know a brother in here. I'm just going to speak for myself. I can't speak for y'all because I don't know y'all. What am I going to do with 72 people? 72 females? It ain't but 30 days in the month. What you going to do with that? I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine those 72 virgins. Even in paradise, I can't imagine. I'd be like, Allah, I don't need that. I got other things I want to do. I don't need no 72 females. What am I going to do with 72 women? Hold on a second. Hold on. Now, think about this now. The image of Al-Islam is being given by people who have a 7th century mentality. So the prophet, he's a prophet. This is where I wanted to end up, Dawood. He's a prophet speaking prophetically in the future too. So in the last speech, he makes a dua because he understands his people ain't ready. It's going to have to come another people. That's in the Quran too. Allah says, if you don't act right, you don't do it right, I will create another people. And they will not be like you. They won't fear the criticisms of the criticizers. They will love God and God will love them. Well, I don't know anybody love God more than us. I just don't know. I guess I'm biased because I'm an African American. But I don't know anybody with the soul and the spirit for love for God than us. I don't know. I don't know of a group. Look, in the news, in my hometown, Charleston, South Carolina, where I was born, Charleston, to say, crazy terrorists. Well, you kill black people, you ain't no terrorist. Unless you are Arab. Well, hold up. Sit with those people for 1 hour. Now, listen carefully. Imam Muhammad told us this. He said, the Quran is not just to be left on the pages of a book. He said, look for the real life circumstances in the world because the scripture is alive. So when I heard that he sat for 1 hour with those angelic people, those people studying the word of God, I said, wow. Iblis pretended to be among the angels.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God Allah. That was a Ramadan session, and the speaker was Imam Yahya Abdullah, one of the top students of our beloved Imam Waris Ibn Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, and we are grateful for him sharing the insight and the wisdom of our beloved Imam Waris Ibn Muhammad. Imam Muhammad, in reference to the overseas Muslims, we love them. But don't follow them. Many of them are in error there are some that are not in error, but we follow the leadership of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him, and we follow the ilm, the wisdom, the knowledge of our beloved Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad, Rahim al-Alayhi, so that we are not led astray. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. This is the broadcast of Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it. It is hosted by our beloved host, Lou Princess Aziz. And this is the broadcast of Keeping It Real. Let's talk about it. Our beloved host, Lou Princess Aziz, is a mother. She has a mother. And this is Mother's Day. And praise be to Allah. She is enjoying this wonderful day set aside for motherhood. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And this concludes the first hour of this broadcast. The next 2 hours is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad. And we shall share with you insight and logic and wisdom from our beloved Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad that he shared with Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. He said he met with them in private and shared his innermost thoughts with them, and he asked if they would to publish what he has shared with them. To these sessions were recorded, and he asked if they were to transpose the recordings to writing and to publish books and see to their being publicized. Publishing means to make known. And if you want to protect knowledge, you must make the knowledge known. That way, it is not changed, it is not tampered with, it is plain, and it is known. Praise be to Allah. So we are assisting our beloved Imam Shaheed in the publicizing of the knowledge and the wisdom of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad here on American Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited and published by Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed, praise be to Allah. So we have this segment of broadcast on American Muslim 360 entitled The Contemplation of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi. So for the next 2 hours, inshallah, from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, I'm Kareem Hamid, and I'm part of a triad of hosts, Mohassan Abdul Salam and Imam Michael Hamid. We share the publications edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. We have a two-set volume of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi. And we shall share from the two-set volume the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad, sharing his wisdom, his logic, his knowledge, his adherence to scripture, and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him and the highest exaltations for our beloved Prophet and Almighty God's Messenger, Muhammad, praise be to Allah, utilizing the knowledge, the logic, the wisdom of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad. I want to pause now for some important public service announcements. Then we shall move forward with the contemplations of Imam Warith al-Din Muhammad. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, wa alaikum assalam. Martha Naila Abdullah. Praise be to Allah, the Executive Director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference. Before we share with you the content of Volume 1 of the Ramadan Sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, I want to share with you a foreword of this voluminous collection. And these are the words of Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. May the merciful benefactor, merciful Redeemer's blessings be with our noble Imam, W.D. Muhammad, who sacrifices time and energy to meet with his students during the month of Ramadan to share his wisdom and insight, tafsir and commentary that came to be known as the Ramadan Session. A few years before his passing, I edited and published with the Imam's approval the 2006 Ramadan Session, according to his preferred format. I then asked and received his permission to re-edit and make available to the members of his association all of the Ramadan Session transcripts according to this format. At that time, I did not realize what a monumental task I had undertaken. Consequently, it has taken me several years to complete the first part of this heartfelt project. This publication, The Ramadan Session, Volume 1, includes sessions with Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad in the years 1992 and 1993 in Little Rock, Arkansas, 1995 in Athens, Georgia, and January 1999 in Randolph, Virginia. I have also included an Imam study session with Imam W.D. Muhammad in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1983. In the ensuing months, I pray that Allah bless me to complete volumes one, I pray that Allah bless me to complete volumes two and three, which will include the remainder of the Ramadan sessions through 2007 in Chicago, Illinois. As I edited these Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, I felt as though I was right there in the audience as he shared his special and inspired reflections and commentaries on the Quran, the Bible, etc., with his students. In my opinion, Imam W.D. Muhammad was blessed to be one of those rare human beings who were favored by Allah with understanding on the level of prophets. Disclaimer, I'm not saying he was a prophet, and was given a lifetime to share it with the world at large. This means that these sessions with him during the month of Ramadan were of special significance for the world and its future, though they were reserved for his students and associates. The Imam once said, with hope that it eventually will reach the whole world, We should give America the best that we've got. Therein lies the challenge for every student of Imam Walter D. Muhammad to read and study these Ramadan sessions of Imam W.B. Muhammad and the other knowledge and wisdom he shared with us over 33 years, and pray that Allah enlightens our minds with hope that this enlightenment will eventually reach the whole world. May Allah's choicest blessings be upon Imam W.D. Muhammad, and may he be blessed to be on the highest level of the paradise, along with our noble and honored Prophet Muhammad. The prayers and the peace be upon him, Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. So we ended the last session sharing the contemplations of Imam Walter D. Muhammad from out of volume one of the Ramadan sessions. And we ended on page 31. Those of you that may have this publication, I ask if you would read along with me. And if you have any questions, any comments, any statements in regards to what the Imam Muhammad shared with us, we ask that you press one on your phone and let us have a conversation. Let us appreciate the wisdom and the knowledge and the logic that our beloved Imam Walter D. Muhammad shared with us via the Quran and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. So, okay, it begins on page, let me see now. I had it already marked out. Hold on, please. Yes. Now, you know, praise be to Allah. We ended at a good point. Oh, yes, here it is. I found it. Praise be to Allah. Okay, in the Ramadan sessions, those that are present are able to ask Imam Muhammad questions. They are able to ask questions and make statements. This is not like a Jummah, whereby the congregation is not to ask questions or interrupt the speaker. They should give their full attention to the imam conducting the Jummah. But in the Ramadan sessions, there is the freedom to ask questions, make statements in regard to what has been presented. And here's a question that was posed to Imam Walter D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. And the questioner asked, "Brother Imam, I noticed in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, it has Alif Lam Mim. And he translates that as, I, Allah, am the best knower. Now, I notice in Yusuf Ali and Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, they don't have it in there. Could you explain that? Meaning of Alif Lam Mim." Imam Muhammad answered, "Yes. And one other translator says that it means I, Allah, the knower of the beginning, the middle, and the latter. What we believe these mystic letters mean and what we say they mean will have to be judged by the benefit that we derive from our interpretation or explanation in the sense of it helping us to understand the Quran better and agreeing with the Quran, being consistent with the Quran. Since two of you have asked that, I'm going to tell you what I understand the letters to mean. Aleph Lam Mim. I understand Aleph Lam Mim to mean this. Man first is formed socially in the family environment, and he's the product of family sentiments, emotional sentiments, and support in the family, in the household. And that sensitivity is in us. God wants that. That's the first thing he wants to be in us, a love and an appreciation for family life, for each other. then Lamb. That's when he comes into the world and he finds the world is not compatible with what he has taught in his home. Then he comes to the Lamb. Lamb means no. Lamb means did not. It's a strong negative. So it means he then begins to reject and question the world that is not compatible with the Aleph or the home life. And their meme means Muhammad. He reconciled it all. Another question about Mary and Jesus in the Quran, where it says, no man has touched me. Also something about the jinn and the fire not touching the oil. No basher touched Mary. Imam Wahdatin Muhammad. In the first reference that you gave, it says no man touched Mary. No basher. No mortal man. No mortal being touched her. The understanding that we are to get, and I'm speaking in the line of reasoning that we have already, that we're getting already today. Okay. So understand that it means sensitivity. We said when skin is alive, not hard, then it can feel. But when it becomes very hard, you can't feel. You can cut it and you won't feel anything. You can cut it and you won't feel anything. Now, basher is skin that has feeling. It's not that hard skin. Skin that has feeling. It's thin skin with feelings. That's what basher is. Now, that did not touch her. It means that she was an obedient woman to God, and her obedience was not out of this sensitivity. She didn't have a sentimental obedience. Her obedience was not sentimental obedience. Mary's obedience was a habit. She obeyed of habit. She had been obeying for so long until it was habit. Habit can become so strong as an influence that it locks you into something, and your sensitivity doesn't have to become involved at all. So no basher touched her meant that she was obeying out of habit. She was so devoted, so submissive to the will of God, and she had formed that habit over a long period of time, that it was automatic for her. She didn't have to be sensitive or think. And that kind of obedience is the kind of obedience that gives birth to the basher. Jesus was basher, but no basher touched her. So he was the man or the male child that was born in her. Yes, but no male basher impregnated her with that. She was a woman that obeyed out of habit. But because she obeyed out of habit, then in some mysterious way, it's not mysterious, but you know, the language is poetic, very descriptive, symbolically descriptive. It's like in a mysterious way, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit appeared. And it wasn't the basher. It was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, it wasn't the basher. It was the Holy Spirit that appeared. The Spirit and Mary together brought on the birth of Jesus, impregnates her. If we can understand it that way, and the growth in the womb and the birth of Jesus, so her obedience earned her the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit represents here an intuitive urge. It is an intuitive urge, but all intuitive urges are not right. However, here is an intuitive urge came into a perfect, obedient body, Mary. An intuitive urge that forms of a perfectly obedient body. So that intuitive urge was really the will of God. It was really the will of God. And by the intuitive urge in her, and that body now being really the will of God, it brought about the consciousness to become a prophet or basher. Is that clear? Question. Brother Imam, in the verse that you were talking about today, it begins where Allah says that I'm going to make a man. And eventually, in Quran, this man that was made was rejected by Iblis. And the Quran says that Iblis was one of the jinn. But it begins with God saying to the angels, I'm going to make a man. I read what some other person said about this, about angels having complete obedient nature. It's not in their nature to disobey God. Then Iblis disobeyed. So I would like to get some clarification on this. I know that the Quran describes Iblis as being jinn, but God says to the angels that I'm going to make a man. I'm trying to reconcile that. The next subject matter, the progressive movement of awareness in creation. Let me pause right here. Praise be to Allah. The explanation that the birth did not come from sensitivities and emotions, but it came from habit. From habit. When the muezzin makes the call to prayer, Allah says, rush to the place of worship. Rush to the place of worship. When we hear the adhan and the iqama, we don't stop and think. We don't stop and say, well, should I or will I? Or what? No, immediately we hit the floor. Immediately we make sajda. Immediately. We do that out of habit now. When you hear the call to prayer made, immediately you respond. There is no sensitivity or emotions connected with that. You have done that so often that it is out of habit. You are doing right. You are doing what is correct because it has become a part of your nature. It has become a part of who and what you are. It is out of habit. Imam Muhammad shared with us once, he said, you know, we are not angels, but Almighty God has given us a portion of the angelic nature. The angels don't question. When Allah says prostrate, we hit the floor. We immediately hit the floor. We don't think about it. We don't sit in hem hall. Our emotions don't become involved in that. We have done it so often, it is out of habit now, and it is a good habit to have. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. I'm just trying to give some clarity here. And if any of you have any statement that you would like to make, I would definitely appreciate your helping me as we go through the Ramadan session and the contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. I seek your help and your understanding also as we share with you the contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Okay. The next subject matter, the progressive movement of awareness in creation. Imam Muhammad. All right. So we find Iblis and the angels, and it seems that Iblis is not an angel, but he's in the realm, of the angels. Now, what we have to understand is this. We have to understand that this is talking about the progressive awareness in creation. Now, it's coming from, it seems, angels to man. He addresses angels first, then man. Man is coming. So it's, let me stop right there. Allah said that he is creating a man. The man is not fully formed yet. This is my commentary. Allah addresses the angels first. Then man. The man is coming. He is yet creating the man. So returning back to the commentary of the Imam Muhammad. So it seems like it started with angels, and then it comes to man, right? And we know how prophets say that angels brought them the gospel, the message, right? So it is given to us a picture of the progressive movement of awareness in creation. And at first, this awareness is in an angelic state where the intellect is not acting independently. The intellect is just responding to the laws of the universe. So it's angel, you see. And then when God says he's going to make something higher than that intellect, then out of that body of angels manifests now the free will, and that's Iblis. Iblis manifests the free will. He manifests, but when he first manifests, he's not a man. He's jinn. This is because he is still responding to influences. Then when God reveals his will, then the man, the Khalifa, is created. But in the meantime, man has to experience life and suffer his own shortcomings. But that's the man he wants. And he's going to make him the Khalifa because he's in the what? He's in the moral body. He's in the sensitive body, the moral body. But the other one, he's in the pragmatic body. If we can use this kind of term, you see, angels mean those who follow laws with no involvement of self. They isolate self, and they follow laws obediently. They have no will of their own. That's the angels. Iblis was leading angels because he knew more than they knew. Now, free will is different. So Iblis, he's not like that once his role is threatened. Why has he changed? Is it because he was the leader of the angels? You see, he was the leader of the angels, but he was leading the angels because he knew more than the angels knew. That's why he was the leader of the angels. But up until that point, he was satisfied to lead the angels without disobeying the order of the angels. He didn't disobey the order of the angels up to that point. But when God mentioned that he was going to create another creature, different, not of light, not of fire, of flesh, when he said he was going to create a creature of flesh, Iblis thought that, oh, this is inferior to what you've made me. I'm pragmatic. I follow the indications in the universe and the laws of nature. I'm very pragmatic. How can this sensitive creature be smarter than me? A moral creature, a sensitive creature, sentimental being, you are going to make. How can he be better than me? I'm a scientist. I know the laws 100%. So I think you understand. Then he becomes arrogant. No unlearned man is going to challenge me. It makes him arrogant. So actually, he's not speaking to God. God is revealing to us what's in him. He becomes arrogant. He says, I won't stand for this. No creature can trust his heart. And trust his sensitivity. So then he sets out to defeat the man, knowing that God spoke to Adam, and he told Adam, tell them their name. So what God is telling us is that he has inspired the moral man to have curiosity, and his curiosity really is below the angels, whereas Iblis He just has a position of being stationed over the angels. He was the leader of the angels, according to religious teachings. God created man with curiosity. But the man, he had curiosity, the moral man. He wanted to know the angels. The angels obey God. He wanted to know the angels. If we understand the language, God says he taught him the names. But what you have to understand is God is saying that he created him with that curiosity. That's how he, God, taught it to him. He put that in his being, and he inherits that by nature. Excuse me. That curiosity. And he taught him the name. So man has their curiosity naturally to want to know. The first thing he wants to know is not that he doesn't want to know the devil. He wants to know what forces keep this universe so orderly for God. So Iblis, once he knows that this kind of curiosity is in man, he becomes hateful because he fears that that kind of curiosity is going to make him a competitor. Man is going to compete with him for rule. Man is going to come from moral principle, and he's going to challenge the rule of an order that just insists upon just blind obedience, you see. So this frightens Iblis. Iblis was an angel, but God wouldn't tolerate that. What is your free will doing, Iblis? Your free will is doing nothing but keeping blind obedience. I want man to grow. I'll pause now for some important public service announcements. And if you have any questions or any concerns that you would like to share, I ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waters to Dean Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad, and he is sharing with us that vision of when Allah, when the angels when Allah informed the angels that he was created, a man, that he was created, a khalifa. I am created a khalifa. And this khalifa would be made from the teen, which means the clay, or the mud of the earth. And that this creature would have moral sensitivity, a sense of consequences. It would have a sensitive nature. And we see from that sensitive nature that the man that Allah was creating with a free will would also have what Iblis did not like the man to possess, and that is curiosity. Curiosity. The will to want to know. The will to increase in knowledge and understanding. That seems like a challenge to the Iblis, which identifies himself as just pure knowledge, pure logic. You made me a fire. I break things down to the lowest element. I have knowledge. But here is another creature that Allah has created that has sensitivity, that have the ability to question, have the ability to question and to also want to know what is the final outcome. What are the consequences of my action? So that curiosity that Allah placed within Adam, the Iblis felt challenged by that. He felt that he should be the one giving governorship and management over the earth. But here is one that Allah has created that have free will and curiosity to develop and want to know. And Allah taught Adam not just the names of things, the nature of things. So Iblis felt threatened. He felt that he should be the one placed over the management of the creation, because he is constructed, or his inner composition is just more knowledge, more logic and knowledge, but divorced from a sensitive nature. Divorced from what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Here comes a creature that will actually, through curiosity, want to know what is the moral position. What is the conscience? When I say conscience, I don't mean conscious. Conscience. One with a conscience. One that will question his actions and the actions of others. That is the basher, the sensitive nature. A basharu, the sensitive nature. Iblis has no sensitivity, no sentiments, none. He's just pure knowledge. And he believed that should be the ruler over the creation, not one with the ability to question. And the curiosity to want to know, and the sensitivity about the outcome. If there are those of you that would like to share, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. And I'm asking your assistance at this time so that we, inshallah, as we study the knowledge and the logic of the Imam Waqidi Muhammad, that this be a group effort and that we share with each other what Allah blessed us with from out of the insights that are shared here from the Quran, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and what we're sharing here on America Muslim 360, the contemplations of Imam Waqidi Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we'll begin once again. Okay. At the progressive movement of awareness in creation, backtracking a bit so that we can keep an even flow. So we find Iblis and the angels And it seems that Iblis is not an angel, but he's in the realm of the angels. Now, what we have to understand is this. We have to understand that this is talking about the progressive awareness in creation. Now, it's coming from, it seems, angels to man. He addresses angels first, then man. Man is coming. So it seems like it started with angels, and then it comes to man, right? And we know how prophets say that angels brought them the gospel, the message, right? So it is giving us a picture of the progressive movement of awareness in creation. First, this awareness is in an angelic state where the intellect is not acting independently. The intellect is just responding to the laws of the universe. So it's angel, you see. And then when God says he's going to make something higher than that intellect, then out of that body of angels manifests now the free will, and that's Iblis. Iblis manifests the free will, praise be to Allah. Iblis manifests the free will. He manifests, but when he first manifests, he's not a man. He is a jinn, because the intellect has been under the habit or in the habit of responding to influences. So now he's not man. He's jinn. This is because he's still responding to influences. Then when God reveals his will, then the man, the Khalifa, is created. But in the meantime, man has to experience life and suffer his own shortcomings, Adam. But that's the man he wants, and he's going to make him the Khalifa. Because he is in the what? He's in the moral body. He's in the sensitive body, the moral body. But the other one, he's in the pragmatic body, if we can use this kind of term. You see, angels means those who follow laws with no involvement of self. They isolate self, and they follow laws obediently. They have no will of their own. That's the angels. Next subject matter, Iblis was leading the angels because he knew more than they knew. Now, free will is different. So Iblis, he's not like that. Once his role is threatened, why has he changed? It's because he was the leader of the angels. You see, he was the leader of the angels. But he was leading the angels because he knew more than the angels knew. Now, that's why he was the leader of the angels. But up until that point, he was satisfied to lead the angels without disobeying the order of the angels. He didn't disobey the order of the angels up to that point. But when God mentioned that he was going to create another creature, different, not of light, not of fire, of flesh. When he said he was going to create a creature of flesh, Iblis thought that, oh, this is inferior to what you've made me. I'm pragmatic. I follow the indications in the universe and the laws of nature. I'm pragmatic. How can this sensitive creature be smarter than me? A moral creature, a sensitive creature, sentimental being, you are going to make. How can he be better than me? I'm a scientist. I follow the laws 100%. So I think you understand. Then he became arrogant. No unlearned man is going to challenge me. It makes him arrogant. So actually, he's not speaking to God. God is revealing to us what's in him. God, my commentary here. God is revealing to us what is in Iblis. Okay, back to the report. He becomes arrogant. He says, I won't stand for this. No creature can trust his heart and trust his sensitivity. So then he sets out to defeat the man, knowing that God spoke to Adam, and he told Adam, tell them their name. So what God is telling us is that he has inspired the moral man to have curiosity. And his curiosity, really, is below the angels. Whereas Iblis, he just has a position of being stationed over the angels. He was the leader of the angels, according to religious teachings. Okay, I see we have someone press one on the phone. I'm going to open up your mic. Praise be to Allah. Echo 727-408. Welcome to the contemplation. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. And I pray Allah that, alhamdulillah, I pray Allah that we take seriously what we are being blessed with. And what I want to give you is something I think I really need to give out right now, because if not, I feel like I'm shortchanging y'all on the way I feel about what has been given to us. So I wrote this poem, and when I say something that I said, okay, I'm putting that into it, because I want you to make sure that you have enough of me, man, Muhammad, what he feels, what we've given to us in these books. So this is something I'd like to give us. Shaitan picture of reality is nothing but oppression. Our imam language is extracted from the Quran and the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad. And for our future, this is our logical conclusion. So Imam Rana B. Shaheed book, the best for those in our association, because they are W.D. Muhammad directions. The leadership group of youth under his tutelage, he wants them to form their own leadership, and we should not dominate them. This would indeed create a serious problem. The older members have played games. This has happened too many times. We can only expect more of the same. Our imam said, don't think you can do what you want with what I'm saying. That is for me. Remember, what he's leaving for us, pray to Allah, and we do our best and be sincere while we pray. You have to do what God intends for us to do with what he is leaving if you want to be successful. Allah is all forgiving and merciful. Man, Muhammad, you will not be successful if you don't do that. Our souls and brains are under attack. I hope you can grasp a lot, you know, because you might not have the book Follow the Leader, though. But you can actually, you know, I got a common sense approach to life now. And I want y'all to really take seriously about these books, and don't take them any kind of way like this. Not it. This is it, and get with it. So inshallah, you'll find more out about the books from Rana B. Shaheed, and let's get busy and read together and grow together. We brothers and sisters, and love one another better. So alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Bilal. And your statements are most serious, and they come with the weight of the seriousness of your statements. Praise be to Allah. We thank you. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So we can't say that we have been left, you know, without instruction, without knowledge. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Bilal. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. Now, it says here, yes, praise the Lord. Iblis was leading the angels because he knew more than they knew. So what God is telling us is that he has inspired the moral man to have curiosity. And his curiosity really is below the angels. Whereas Iblis, he just has a position of being stationed over the angels. He was the leader of the angels, according to religious teaching. God created man with curiosity. Let me stop right there. Let's take note of that, curiosity. You know, the amount, Nur, the mountain of light, that the Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, received the first revelation from Almighty God, highly praised be he. That the name of that mountain prior to it being renamed, Jabal Nur, the mountain of light, it was named Mount Hira, Jabal Hira. And Hira refers to the cat, curiosity. And curiosity is what led our Prophet Muhammad to seek solitude within that cave. He was seeking understanding, curiosity. And what Allah gave him was enough to rename that Jabal, that mountain, Jabal Nur, the mountain of light. Praise be to Allah. So curiosity, never lose your curiosity. Always be willing to seek further, to want to know more. Praise be to Allah. Let me stop. Let me go on here. Okay. Speaking of the man's curiosity. So man has that curiosity naturally to want to know. The first thing he wants to know is not the devil. He doesn't want to know the devil. He wants to know what forces keep this universe so orderly for God. So Iblis, once he knows that this kind of curiosity is in man, he becomes hateful because he fears that that kind of curiosity is going to make man a competitor. Man is going to compete with him for rule. Man is going to come for morals, moral principles, and he's going to challenge the rule, insist upon. Just blind obedience, you see. So this frightens Iblis. Before, Iblis was an angel. But God wouldn't tolerate that. What is your free will doing, Iblis? Your free will is doing nothing but keeping blind obedience. I want man to grow. Iblis was just serving the order of angels, holding things in check. So he rejected Iblis for man, right? And he admits that. My man is not ready yet, he says. But when I have breathed into him of my spirit, then you accept him as Khalifa. Meaning that if he keeps that nature, then that nature is going to earn him the spirit of truth, which will bring him in to the revelation. So that nature is going to earn him the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is going to come naturally into that body. And if you understand, and if you've understood what I've been talking about today, you can see it very plainly. You see, that kind of nature is going to eventually earn him the spirit of truth. When the spirit of truth comes into his body, then that truth is going to take him into the gates, into the door of revelation. God is going to reveal to him. Then when God reveals to him, he's going to see the sciences that Iblis has not entered. Iblis has held himself back because all of his desire is to check, to hold things in place, not to advance the world, just to hold the world in place. That's to serve the order of the angels, right? Their job is not to advance the world, but to hold the thing. You see, they, the angels, hold the order for God. So he's just serving their realm, their role. But God wants man's realm to come into existence, where man does not just hold things in check, but he wants to see things unfold. He wants to see the potential and the creation released. Satan brought down the intellect of man. So that's how we should understand Iblis. And the Bible says, he brought down a third of the kingdom. Satan brought down a third of the kingdom, and that left two-thirds, right? And that third means that inner urge in man to be curious, that urge to see and to grow and to know. He brought that down. Didn't he tempt Eve? He promised her by saying, oh, God said you would die. No, your eyes will come open and you will become as one of the gods, knowing as one of the gods. So he was really appealing to her curiosity, desire in her to see and understand. That's that inner urge. So that's what it means when it says he brought down a third, intellect. He brought down the intellect of man. That's what it means. He brought down the intellect. He caused the intellect to fall. And actually, in our religion, that was God's purpose, that the human intellect falls out of space, down to earth, where it should be. Excuse my laughing. Praise be to Allah. He caused the intellect to fall. And actually, in our religion, that was God's purpose, that the human intellect falls out of space down to earth, where it should be. Come away from that other world, all locked up, and come down here in the world and produce, grow, and serve the purpose of man down here on earth. Is that okay? Someone is asking me now a question. Question. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. In the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it indicates that it was the angel Jibril or Gabriel that brought the first revelation to Prophet Muhammad. And it also says in the 40 Hadith that it was the angel Jibril that came to Prophet Muhammad and his followers, and in their presence questioned him. How can you explain to us how we are to see Jibril in the sense that it's given? Okay, Jibril, the messenger of universal science. Imam Muhammad's answer, yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir. All right, you see the key. The clues are in the description. He says Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, said the man was sitting among the believers asking questions to teach them. He described him. He said he wore intense black and intense white, and he was Jibril, the angel. Now, we know angels. Angel means the natural urge or natural being, whatever we want to call it. But he's a natural being. Now, the intuitive urge comes to man in different ways. The intuitive urge manifests in man depending on his concern. If the man's concern is spiritual, then the angel should appear in all white. If the earth is social, the angel should appear red. If the earth is material for material sciences, then the angel should appear in black and white, distinctly separated from each other. Black stands for matter. White stands for the science of the matter, the light of the matter. Do you have another question? So actually, the angel taught Prophet Muhammad. So actually, the angel that taught Prophet Muhammad was universal, the messenger of universal science. Another question. So in the Night of Power, I remember one time you were speaking of black as meaning reflection. You said in one of your lectures that when we go back into blackness, Imam Muhammad, yes, sir. There's consciousness and reflection. That's right, reflection. One of the meanings of black is reflection. It means thought. You are conscious of something. Then you think on it. When you think on it, what do? You close your eyes to what you are seeing to think on it. Just like if I'm looking at this microphone, something I don't understand about it, and I begin thinking on it, what happens? There is a tendency in me that if I can't get the thought I want, to close my eyes, to shut out the mic. But really, it is to cut the mic open, drop the mic out in order to think clearly. Why? Is because the dalil, the understanding, the knowledge, that's what dalil means. It is because the dalil of this is deception. Dalil means the apparent is deception. The real is hidden. So if we want to understand something better, God has given us this nature to shut, to close the eyes to it. When we want to think, we close our eyes. The inner eye is looking for details that didn't manifest themselves on the surface. So that's what I mean by reflection. Not reflection as such, but reflection means to think on something, to go back, to think back, you see. So we have light reflection and we have thought reflection. Thought reflections would be like the moon. It reflects the sunlight. So then when it was said that the prophet, peace be upon him, could not read, and after revelation, he could read, was it meaning that he could read the signs that Allah had put in everything that he created and that he could be taught in that fashion and not just through reading something that another man had written on a page? Imam Muhammad, It means that he could read the signs of God. Before, he couldn't read the signs of God. But God sent the angel to him, and the angel pressed upon him three times and made it possible for him to read the signs of God. And that's the process of revelation, the signs of God. I hope it's clear. Another question. Brother Imam, you were talking about the worm that had no hair, about the evolving of the human being when he has lost most of his hair. You were also talking about the seven developments all the way up to another creature. My question is about evolution. Most that you find on evolution relates to this ayah in the Quran about the different stages. I've always thought it to be behavior coming about, like monkey behavior. Am I on the right track in that, in talking about evolution? Yes, sir. But it should be human behavior. Actually, there are stages of human behavior, and they are all excellent. They are not degrading. They are excellent. They are grades of excellence from the very first. All of them grades of excellence. And they are the sensitivity, a behavioral disposition, or the tendency that Allah wants in us. And when we grow out of them, we just grow to a higher expression of them. So there are seven in you and seven outside of you. You come to a higher expression of, or to a more meaningful concept of that very same thing that Allah has created in us. It is not evolution in a bad sense. It is evolution in the best concept that we can conceive, in the best picture we can conceive. That's the evolution of man. And really, it starts with the law that God puts in matter. You know clay is not life. It's dead world, right? And actually, man wears dead skin. He has living flesh, but he wears dead skin. All of this skin on the surface is dead. The outer body of man is dead. So it is a connection with inanimate dead. It's dead. But nevertheless, through the dead we sense, don't we? It's through this dead that we sense. And the dead is very thin. The thicker the dead gets, the less you can sense. Pretty soon, it can't sense. But just a thin dead, a little, is okay. So we just want to die just a little bit to the world, but we don't want to die all the way. Praise be to Allah. There's another question that the Imam is asking. Let me pause once again for a public service announcement. I've been informed, I think at the last, that I was derelict in sharing the PSAs. I don't want that to be my fate at this broadcast. Praise be to Allah. So you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, and this is the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. And if you would like to join in with me in this presentation, I ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute you a mic. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community Wise Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021. The Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, amrahum shura bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. CWSC recognizes that only through shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From Quran, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer, so whatever you are given is but a provision of this world's life, and that which Allah has is better and more lasting for those
who believe and rely on their Lord, and those who respond to their Lord and keep up prayer, and whose affairs are decided by counsel among themselves. Surely, Almighty God speaks the truth. That's the noble and glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 42, 36 through 38.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. I see someone has raised their hand. Let me open up the mic of 727-408. What would you like to add to what we have presented? My beloved brother Bilal. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You know, when the Nile, say what he said in those public announcements. I mean, when she say that, every time I hear that, that brings up another notch. I really feel good about being human. So praise be to Allah. They got something I wrote. I really like to keep something going. So I'm a read this. This is the end of a book called Follow the Leader. Advance the life. This is Imam Muhammad talking about. Advance the life. Imam W. D. Muhammad represented. So when you are convinced by your own intelligence that what Imam W.D. Muhammad represents is the best opportunity for us, is the most dignified thing to support, then lay into it, put your brain into it, put your heart into it, and spend your energy advancing the life content of the Muslims, as it is in the Quran, as it is in the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, and as I have tried to represent it. That is the need, because I am not going to live. I am going to die, and maybe sooner than you think. Who knows? And what will happen with you? Still looking for Jesus? Take all of your responsibility upon his shoulders? God never intended such. That is a message for the people they want to exploit, that they want to take out of the race. I conclude, and I say to you, Allah is with us. So we should look at what circumstances is now and envision and see the future. I see a sign that tells me the day of the multitude is just around the corner, just around the street. Not a multitude of the people who have quantity and no quality, a multitude of quality people. Yeah, I have been this. But do you have a joy today, today, and every day? See, I don't care what happens in our lives. I don't care how bad it may be. It's not enough to take away this big joy that Allah has put into our lives. The joy is too big. The trouble will be small. It's a poem I wrote for this day. I like to just share this one. The right parents have on their children is that they are their heaven and hell. Let's make sure that they are doing well. If you take care of our children and meet our obligation, you will earn paradise. Put them in a good situation to take care of their own life. The position of mother appears to be higher than that of the father. It's better when the two souls work together. The Quran describes the trouble and hardship which the mother sustained during pregnancy, nursing, and caring. It better that man own a business until that time comes. Educate yourself and keep on working. Any man that grows in real knowledge and remains small morally hasn't even known the knowledge that he has been following. Mechanically, it's the way he has been growing. Challenge is to produce peace. It's something that marriage needs. Let's not give in to the pressure of well-intended people who lack sensitivity. Sometimes it's often difficult to manage time for yourself related to your family. It could be solved by some slight changes to their daily activities. Ain't understanding mellow? Plan something as simple as cooking and eating a meal together. We're in the heavens, I lean at home to keep our family strong. Praise be to Allah. Amen. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Bilal, from that reading. follow the leader. Praise be to another publication that Imam Rana B. Shaheen has shared with us from the contemplations of Imam Wahid Muhammad. Thank you, my beloved brother. Alhamdulillah. Now we want to return back to this volume one, the Ramadan session of Imam Wahid Muhammad. I'm sharing with you now what is called the Imam's class. This was in 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Okay, I'm going to begin where, inshallah, where we left off at inshallah, but we are beginning where there is a question to ask, but in parentheses it says unclear. Evidently, they could not make out the question that was asked. But Imam Wahid Muhammad's answer was this: yes, sir, I agree with you 100%. I think when we have fashion shows, the women should give their show to a women's audience, and the men should have their show before a men's audience. Yes, sir, you are congratulated for helping us with this community, and we need plenty of help. All right, then there is another question. And it is, in parentheses, unclear. But the Imam is answering that question. Yes, sir. It depends on yourself and the kind of sister that you want for a wife. From what you told me, I sense that you wouldn't want a sister that you look down on, that you would have to look down at, right? You wouldn't want a sister too much beneath you, right? So my advice to you would be what the Quran says. Restrain yourself. Have faith in Allah and wait until you get a wife and get the means to support her. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we move forward. There's another question asked of the Imam regarding support for a program and et cetera in Damascus. Some say there is no compulsion in religion. Is it compulsion if an imam requests or requires believers to do something? Imam Wahid Muhammad. No, sir, it's not. I can prove it's not. They don't understand the word. The word doesn't mean that at all. Muslims have duties to support their community. And if they don't, then they should be exposed, especially when they're able to do so. Let me read that again. This is for my own satisfaction. I'm going to read this again concerning oppression and the imam asking of certain things to be attended to in the ummah, in the community. Is that oppression? The imam answered was, no, sir, it's not. I can prove it. They don't understand the word. The word doesn't mean that at all. Muslims have duties to support their community. And if they don't, then they should be exposed, especially when they are able to do so. Question. Another question posed to Imam Muhammad. What are the number of times that you do zikr after prayer? Imam Wahid Muhammad. I do it 10 times because I know most of us are pressed for time, and it is important that we preach a lot. And because we are a community that's being introduced to the religion. So really, the preference now is on preaching, ta'aleem. Lectures and dhikrs take a long time. I figured to cut it down to 10. Allah says he gives how many times? 7, 10, and up to 700, the reward. So if we do dhikr 10 times and Allah gives us 70 dhikrs, that's almost 100, right? Now, if he gives us 10, that will be 100, and it will give us 700. and we'll have more than enough dickers, right? But there is a significance. If you notice, 33, 34 is 100, right? It makes 100. Do you understand? Now, 10 means conscience, and 100 means behavior. So if you do 10, you will stay conscious. If you do 100, it will be planted in your behavior. Another question about governmental structure in domestic. No administrator in masjid except the imam. Imam Wahdatul Muhammad, I have asked that there be a very simple office in the masjid, and all we are looking to in the masjid is one person. That's the imam. Now, if he needs help, that's his business. But we're not looking at any other administrator other than the imam. If he needs any other help, he can get that help. That's his business. Actually, he doesn't need a treasurer. He can take it just like the preacher. Many of the preachers, they collect the offering and take it. We trust the imam. We have to trust him. If we got him, we have to trust him to take the money and put it in an account and use it for the best. Put it to the best use for the master. But if he wants a treasurer or secretary, then that's good. We have to trust the imam. The priest, the Catholic priest, he goes around and he collects the money, doesn't he? He doesn't need a secretary. He goes around and collects the money. We are not ready for all of that stuff. We have to wait until we get more, get something to justify all of that. Question. Please explain further what an apostate is. Imam Wahdatul Muhammad, you could be an apostate by just stepping back from a position you took. If you took a position, if you came before the Muslims and said, I want to be a Muslim, and then later you say, no, I changed my mind. I don't want to be a Muslim. That's an apostate. Yes, sir, because you're false to your position and we can't trust you. But I agree, there are degrees of apostate. Now, those who learn more, the more you know about the religion and in turn still go back, that increases the sin or the wickedness of that person. A person who comes in, who doesn't know much about the religion at all, but he's impressed by the Muslim, and he says, yes, I want to take Shahada. I want to be a Muslim. Then later on he says, oh, I changed my mind. I don't want to be a Muslim. He's an apostate because what is the requirement for becoming a Muslim? It's not knowledge. It's faith. And if he's so fickle-minded, he just makes statements. And then goes off them like that, you can't trust a person like that. Next question about qualification of imam. Imam Wahdatul Muhammad's answer. The imam is accountable to the membership of the masjid. He's only their servant. That is all he is. He is their representative. His conduct is watched by them. And any time a majority of them don't approve of his conduct, they can bring him to conform unless he can prove himself to be right on the basis of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. And I include my own leadership if he's in this community. Praise be to Allah. Another question posed to the imam about due process in the masjid. Imam Muhammad answers, if anyone is believed to be guilty of a wrongdoing or crime in the community, they are entitled to defend themselves or to be heard. Defend themselves before the community. And if evidence is that conclusive, then why shouldn't he be brought before the community? All right, there's another question, but as earlier, it is unclear what the question is, but Imam Muhammad answers the question. Yes, let me make sure I understand what you're asking. The first question is, why is Iyaka used rather than Anta, which means you? And the second is where the Quran says, this is the revelation of Musa, Moses, and Abraham. Suhuf is a book too, but it tells us what form of book. Kitab really means compilation, compiling, a compilation of materials, instructions, etc. And they have existed in different forms. And the form of kitab means sheets upon sheets, sheets upon sheets, and following a theme. That's kitab. Kitab has a theme. There should be a central theme running through a whole kitab, and it should be sheets upon sheets. Sheets added to sheets. Suhuf is like scroll. Suhuf is a sheet, but it suggests that it is like scrolls. And Iyaka, pin ourselves toward you. I think we have to call it a day. One more, brother. Okay, question. The question is unclear, but the subject matter after that is entitled, Only Charge is a Sin When a Man Willfully Goes Wrong. And the Imam answers the question. Yes, sir. It is human nature to slip. It is human nature to obey, and it is human nature to make mistakes sometimes. You are not perfect. And that fault comes in the conscience. And in our religion, I can't divorce heart and sentiment from conscience. It is impossible. So because of that peculiar element in the rationale of the man or the intellect of the man, he's also subject to make mistakes. But it's a mistake, according to the Quran, because if he follows the natural impulse of that particular nature, he will want to do good and want to be correct. So if he's wrong, it's charged as a mistake. And only when he willfully goes wrong is it charged as a sin. Allahu Akbar. Okay, thank you very much, Brother Imam. I hope we've benefited some today. May Allah go with us and guide us and keep us on the right path. Make us good Muslim followers of Prophet Muhammad and unite us together as a community and make us good supporters of our leader. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. That concludes the address given in Atlanta, Georgia. The year was 1983. It was titled An Imam's Class. But as you can hear from the commentary of the Imam Waqidi Muhammad, he's sharing insights and knowledge with the imams that were present at that class. And this presentation here is to share with you the insights and the logic and the tafsir and the knowledge of our beloved Imam Waqidi Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. I'm grateful to Almighty God, Allah, highly praised be He. I'm grateful to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, and we express the highest exaltation upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and Almighty God's messenger. Praise be to Allah. And we thank Almighty God, Allah, for blessing the human being with ilm, with men of wisdom and knowledge and logic that can teach us. Praise be to Allah. And we count Imam Waqidi Muhammad among those that possess ilm, wisdom, knowledge, a special insight, and his sharing that insight with not just us, but with the world. Praise be to Allah. So we've got about 28 minutes left of broadcast time. If there's any of you that would like to make statements at this time, I ask you press 1 on your phone, and I will open up your mic, inshallah. And if not, I look forward to your commentary, inshallah. So I ask, okay, we have a caller on the line. Praise be to Allah. Air code 810-399. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, welcome, assalam to you, Brother Imam Kareem Hamid, and to the AM360 family. This is the Preeta Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan.
Assalamu alaikum,
everyone. Alhamdulillah, and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there as well. You know, Brother Imam, alhamdulillah, we certainly do, we appreciate this program, you know, every Sunday that it comes on. But it's something how we can read, and we can read something and read more than one time, you know, maybe not the same day, but you've read it more than one time, and not really grasp just what is being said or what the reason right then and there. You know, when you were mentioning about the angel Jibril in bringing the message to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him by Allah's command, and I say, oh, so it came to me that when Allah said, when he put Adam and Hawa in the shaitan out of the paradise, because they had let him whisper to them and they listened, so he put them all out of the paradise. And so, I can remember, I'd be paraphrasing a lot of times and say, but Allah said for a surety that he will come for you while you're here in this earth, because this is going to be your resting place or your dwelling place just for a while. It wasn't forever. But, you know, just the day when you were reading that, it just come. I said, oh, so that's it. That's it. The Quran is that mercy that Allah sent when he told us that, you know, we're going to stay down here for a while. But we will be able to return back to the heaven. And then when he do send that information to us of, you know, that is going to be our light back to the heaven, that we should recognize it. And I'm paraphrasing here now, recognize it, that this is the mercy that came, and now we can come out of the earth back to the heaven. And that's the Quran. That's the sign. That's the Quran. I mean, I know I've read it, and I talk about it all numerous of times, but today Allah decided to give me that when you were reading from the, speaking about Jibril bringing the message to the Prophet Muhammad. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, like I say, you read something over and over and over, and you may even speak about it and everything, but today, that's it. This is it, everyone. You know, so when I'm speaking of the attributes, asthma or husna on the program, and saying how how Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has said to us that for those of us who learn it, Allah would bless us with a seat in paradise. Then said maybe, said will. So that two in itself is another sign. These are the signs. Follow the signs. So when you make it up to the door of the paradise, then the angels will be saying, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and welcome into the paradise. And Allah highly glorified us. He will be saying, a job well done, my servant. You know, it just came to me today. And I just wanted to share it. I just wanted to share it, everybody.
Thank you, praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. You know, I'm quite sure we've all experienced this. What about you? You may have a circumstance or situation mm-hmm. that you're trying to figure out. You can't seem to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You wrestle with. And someone may come to your home and you're in a conversation mm-hmm. about something that's not pertaining to that problem mm-hmm. you're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And that person may say something that gives you the answer. They aren't aware of the significance of what they're saying to you. And you recognize, you say, Mark, that's the answer. Girl, I want to thank you. And she's looking puzzled. What do you mean? Thankful? What did I say? And you tell them, that is the angel. Praise be to Allah. Like the man that came and questioned the Prophet Muhammad. Action, that request, that was the angel teaching the believer. The man may not have been aware of what he was doing, but he came to inquire. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, you know, what can I say? The angel comes in many forms. Many
mm-hmm,
forms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Allah says that the angel can come in the form of a man.
That's
they
right.
mean human. Human.
That's right.
And they can bring you God's will for you through them.
Yes,
they
yes,
are being,
yes.
being utilized as an angel yes. for you, although they are yes. not even aware. You aren't even aware. But they come with the answer. That's only a small, infinitesimal example
yes. Yes,
of
sir.
One of the functions of the angel.
Yes,
praise be to Allah. So, you know, what I got, what really got me from this reading, when the Imam stated, that the human being came with the property of curiosity.
mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
you know,
he's a sensitive creature, moral uh-huh. in his nature, but Iblis is upset because you're making a creature that's going to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
In the mm-hmm. acquisition of knowledge, he's going to be so inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to ask, well, why? He's
uh-huh.
going to ask, right? He's going to ask, well, why this? Why that?
That's right. That's
and
right.
And it's from that curiosity that he's growing, in knowledge. And because
mm-hmm.
he has a moral nature, then he uses that knowledge to advance himself and others into society. Satan mm-hmm. wanted to just keep things fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Allah's will for us that we
That's
grow,
right.
that we advance the society. And here it is, God, you making somebody that's going to be curious, that's going to question. I thought you would just be satisfied with me. Oh, no. Satan, you don't have a moral nature. You don't just do anything. That's what God did. He feels threatened. His position feels threatened
yes.
because of man's curiosity.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Desires, you know, praise be to Allah. That is
Allah,
what trouble.
And
what,
you know, Beth.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead,
yes, sir. You know, brother, ma'am, and it makes you so excited. I mean, you know, it just has you just bubbly all inside your spirit and everything. You'd be like, oh, Allah, you're so good to us. You're so kind to us. You're so merciful. I mean, all of the attributes that he exists, and I know we don't know them all, But those that we know and come in contact with and come to learn and practice in our lives, it just brings us, that's what it says, it brings us closer to Allah, and we just be filled with excitement about it. Filled with excitement. Yes, sir. Yes. We have to contain ourselves.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to somewhat, you know, restrain the emotionality that I sometimes feel.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
I mean, it's wonderful, but that's not the purpose of it. It's to excite me emotionally.
That's right. That's right. Right.
After I calm down, now, let's go back and review. Let's get to what a lot is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
let me make
yeah.
sure what I'm really reading here. Understand
yeah.
what I'm reading here.
Praise be to
yeah,
Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so kindly. Thank you so kindly.
Oh, we thank you to praise you to Allah. And we also thank you for sharing with us the attributes of Allah on the program Focus on El Islam. No, El Islam in Focus. If you would
yes,
share
sir.
With the listening audience the time of that broadcast, if you would, please. It's a wonderful broadcast.
Thank you so kind, Brother Imam. Yes, that's every Saturday evening, afternoon now, early afternoon, or I should say late afternoon, at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on AM 360. And this is a wonderful time, everyone, to kind of jump back in here. I know you've probably been we have been really busy, but look, we're starting. We're going back to the beginning again. But each time we go to the beginning, because, you know, we've been doing the interviews now for at least about 3 years now. And every time we get back to that beginning, we finish up one way we're doing the thing, by learning the name, learning how to spell it, what it means, what the benefits of it. And then we go back and we pick up more information in the introduction once again. So this is a great time for those that have not been coming in, and this is your opportunity to come in and start right back again through the beginning of it. Yes, that's every Saturday evening at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on AM 360, Islamic Radio Station. Thank you so kindly, Brother Imam, and to the AM 360 audience for allowing me, all of you, to listen to me come on and say what I have to say. Alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah. Also, I want to announce that we shall broadcast the Study El Islam a broadcast coming from out of Washington, D.C., facilitated by our beloved sister, Fitra Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God. We shall share that broadcast with her Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, and 7 a.m. Pardon me. I always get these coast times
yeah.
mixed up. But praise be to Allah. 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific Coast Time. Praise be to Allah. Here on American Muslim 360 every Sunday morning, inshallah. Praise be to Allah. So we are grateful to once again broadcast the Study of Islam presented by our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad, whereby she invites scholarly believers among us to share with us the miraculous nature of the Quran and the life example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. So this coming Sunday, inshallah, we shall broadcast the Study of Islam program once more, now that we have completed the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah is blessing us. Praise be to Allah. Thank
yes,
you, sister.
Thank you so kind. You're welcome, Daddy Man. Alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah. Wa alaykum as-salam, and may Allah continue. And happy Mother's Day to you and all the mothers on the earth. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, kindly.
Okay. All right, we have our brother Bilal is back with us. We got about 13 minutes of broadcast time. And if there are any of you that would like to share, we ask if you would press one on your phone. I will open up you a mic. We'd love to hear from you. Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm grateful. You know, since the preacher, she's dealing with the attributes of Allah. If we just take those attributes, right, and if we become the little part of the attributes, and you'll find out life to be real good for you. So praise be to Allah for that. There's something that wrote I'd like to share. Ramadan is solely for Allah. We pray that the discipline and love will never stop. Allah loves his creation a lot. We are benefiting from the sunnah or tradition of Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad. Dark consciousness is better than blackness. The flesh, first level of concern. The individual journey others to make the world burn. The global destiny, build the institution we and others need. Family help grow societies. Don't forget that our intelligence has benefited America. Prophet Muhammad seen more as a liberator. Revelation and his ultimate authority was the creator. We should know what tradition has stayed and accounted for man's endurance. Allah saved us the best, and that is our intelligentsia. The Prophet Sunnah is a reflection of the best tradition of life in human society. We know that it is easy to establish peace. The key to salvation is good deeds. Let's continue joining with others to take care of the world social needs. Deviation has destroyed nations. After Ramadan, let's continue having the conversation. For us in America, W.D. Muhammad was our connection. As we involve, let's be wise and take precautions. Our charter saying is a statement in the defense of the freedom of religion. The idea that there is more than one God is the worst form of oppression. The greatest idea for advancing society are those that are supported by revelation. Continue giving limitations. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, everybody. Praise be to Allah.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Bilal. And as always, thank you for your words of inspiration. Praise be to Almighty God for us. I mean, for you. We thank Almighty God for you and us. We appreciate each other. Praise be to Allah. I want to share with you the ma'am's his explanation of sin, and we make mistakes. We slip. We make mistakes. Sometimes we can be sincere. We can be sincere and honest in our position, but the position can be wrong. But we are sincere. We don't mean any harm. But when it becomes clear to you that your position is incorrect, then you change, then praise be to Allah. It is the human nature to slip. It is human nature to obey, and it's human nature to make mistakes. Sometimes you are not perfect. It comes under conscience. And in our religion, you can't divorce heart and sentiments from conscience. It's impossible. So because of that particular element in the rationale of the man or in the intellect of the man, he's also subject to make mistakes. But it's a mistake, according to the Quran, because if he follows the natural impulse of that particular nature, he will want to do good and want to be correct. So if he's wrong, it's charged as a mistake. Only when he willfully goes wrong is it charged as a sin. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. This concludes the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. Let me share with you upcoming broadcast tomorrow morning, inshallah. I'm going to the episode. Come on now. Come on. There we go. Praise be to Allah. And tomorrow is May the 15th. Praise be to Allah. And we look forward to your presence on America Muslim 360 tomorrow morning, inshallah, at the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Let me see if I'm going up. Hold on, please. Yes. We want to invite you, if you would, to tune into the broadcast MAPS, Muslim American Power of Five. Muslim American Power of Five is hosted by Abdullah Sabri and Brother Fleming El-Amin, and I believe the sister's name that co-hosts with them is Cheryl Sadu. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. That is, okay, let me get rid of this here. Okay. So we look forward to your presence, praise be to Allah, for the broadcast of Muslim American Power Hour, inshallah, tomorrow here on America Muslim 360. Let me give you the time of that broadcast. It is, praise be to Allah, it will air from 12 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, 1 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on America Muslim 360. Then we invite you, if you would, to stay tuned or to tune back in to America Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Optimal Health and Maya Alekulehal. Optimal Health is hosted by our beloved brother Abdul Shaheed, and the broadcast Maya Alekulehal is hosted by our beloved brother Imam Abdul Akbar Aziz. Maya Alekulehal is translates into together under all circumstances. Praise be to Allah. So we look forward to your presence on America Muslim 360. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful for your support. And inshallah, we hope to bring you more excellent public broadcasting. And we are grateful for your participation and your support. Praise be to Allah. I don't have anything else to offer at this time. If there are any of you that would like to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day, or I pray that we've all had a blessed Ramadan. I received some excellent news. I received some wonderful news concerning my the progress that I'm making with my health. Praise be to Allah. It's the greatest news that I've received in my lifetime. And I attribute that to Allah blessing me with a blessed Ramadan. I don't take that lightly. Praise be to Allah. So anyway, I am your host, Kareem Hamid. And I shall leave the air at this time. Praise be to Allah. We came to you with the greetings of peace. And we leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain forever thankful, and Almighty God ask of us. Almighty God ask the whole of humanity. Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Let us remain forever thankful. I bring you the voice of Rahman, of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seal and prayer, seven espresso fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and the door, crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife." Go back to Cubs, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for the life and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. Friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give.